This podcast is brought to you by Urban Float. If you like to relax and disconnect, then you should check out Urban Float in Rehoboth Beach, Delaware, located next to Rosenfeld's Jewish Deli in the new Ocean Atlantic Shopping Center on Route 1 North. Guests of Urban Float get to relax and float in their own flotation pods filled with purified, skin-temperatured water at 1,200 pounds of dissolved Epsom salts. The health benefits are profound. I love it. I love it.
I'm glad you do.
I see that. I love it. I see this. I'm supposed to do. I love it.
Wait a second.
I do love it, actually. Thank you. You can book your first float at urbanfloat.com. Just be sure to select the Rehoboth Beach location and use code FIRSTTIME at checkout to receive 50% off your first float. Renew, refresh, and revive at Urban Float.
Very good.
3, 2, 1. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
How are you?
I'm very good. Thank you.
You look great.
Thank you so much.
Still pulling that summer look out?
I'm trying.
What's the rule after Labor Day? No more white pants?
That was the old rule.
Oh, is there a new rule?
There's no rules now.
No rules?
We make our own rules.
Well, I didn't see what color your pants. Are they white?
I have black.
Okay.
I'm gonna do as I wish, and that's pretty much what I normally do.
Well, I'm definitely not here to make any rules for you. I know that there used to be a kind of a rule after Labor Day. You
yeah.
couldn't wear
well,
white
no
pants.
White shoes for sure.
Okay. Or white watches.
Well, that could happen, too.
So good morning, or good. I always do that. Good afternoon. Do you want to introduce yourself?
My name is Leslie Dolan, and I'm a health and fitness specialist for people 50-plus, but I work with people any age that are stuck with their weight and fitness.
Did I tell you my new philosophy? Did I tell you my new saying?
I think you did. Something about weights.
You forgot it already. I thought it was going to be the...
Lift weights instead of lose, or something like that.
Learn to use your weight, not lose your weight.
There you go.
Your eyes lit up when I told you that the other day. You said, that's it. That's going to be, it's going to be the end of it. We were moving to somewhere.
That went right over my head, probably because I've got a lot on my plate right now. So sorry. Well, it was a great saying though.
Well, don't you, I mean, so you're into fitness, health. I mean, don't you feel like we need to start understanding what weight is about?
We do.
I mean, people just think of, if you're fat or, you know, heavy or whatever we call it now, but it's like fat is only just around just to screw up your clothes, you know, screw up our look. But, you know, many years ago, I mean, it was the heavy people that were the wealthy. You know, we, you know, could afford food. You know, if there was ever a famine or a time when we couldn't get food, those people would live a little longer. Now, you know, through society and how we look and how people expect us to look, we want to be thin. You know, but if we honestly, if we had a real problem, we would really struggle to last any length of period of time, right?
Right.
So when I say use your weight, you know, when we eat, we store fat. The fat is for what?
It's for energy.
Right.
And it's to help us with so many things. I mean, we need it for our hormones. We need it for, we need some fat. We don't want to be without fat, and we're never going to be without fat unless we're in trouble with our health then.
Right. So to me, it seems like we have to figure out, like, if you want to use or lose weight, we have to figure out how to use it.
Exactly.
We have to utilize that energy because we call it fat. We give it that black eye. It's a terrible thing, but it's really reserve energy for those times where we don't have food.
Exactly.
So how, I mean, that. So when I told you that, that's what I meant by it. It wasn't meant to go over your head.
It didn't go over my head. I just forgot it.
You forgot it, and that's fine. but how do you, I mean, because that's, to me, it seems like that's a real something you have to educate people because we feel like if we just do this and do this, the weight's just going to disappear. We're losing weight, and we're not losing it. We're using it. Fat doesn't disappear, right?
Yeah. Well,
or does it
does disappear if you do the right thing, but the problem is that people are trying to lose fat, and they end up losing a lot of lean muscle tissue in the process. Mm. So there's a lot of ways to do it that's going to make it last, for sure, like behavioral changes that are going to make it last, and also things that are you can have tools in your tool chest, so to speak, so that you know what to do if you start to put that weight back on. We need a little fat. What's happening, though, is people are getting a little bit over fat. They're celebrating that, which is good, because I think what happens is that we think just because we have 10 extra pounds or 15 even, that that's a bad thing. But that's not necessarily a bad thing. If you are healthy and you're okay with that, then that's perfectly fine. When it stops being good is when it starts to affect our health, our self-esteem, or we start to look at ourselves in a different way because we think that we should be comparing ourselves to somebody on Facebook or social media, that type of person, so to speak.
I do. I'm guilty of that. I mean, I'll sit there like, I'm like trying to lose weight or not lose, use weight. I'm trying to use my weight. Yeah. But, I'm trying to, maintain a good, healthy look. And what I'm really trying to do is be like other people that I see. I feel awesome.
That's right. And that's what we all do. And I'm guilty as well as a health coach, health and fitness specialist. I look at other people and think, oh, well, they look this way. I should be that, wrapped up that tight. Well, that's just not what my body is made to do. I have a different type of body. So it's important to learn what your body's capable of and what you're capable of doing with that body.
So when people come to you, because you say you work with only 50 and over?
Oh, no. I work with every. I have clients now that are. I've had people as young as 21 and people as old as 80. But my expertise is really zeroed in on what happens after we hit around the 50 mark.
Yeah.
So that's all that means is that I have extreme expertise in that area. There are certain things that happen, especially with women, but men as well, when they hit, around the late 40s, 50s. And that's what I know how to help people with.
It seems like that's when people start going, uh-oh. Uh-oh, geez.
Yeah.
I gotta make some changes. I know, I'm 51. I've always tried to take care of myself for the most part prior to just being a bum and running around partying and hanging out and all that stuff. Once I finally cleaned up that side of my act, then I started saying, well, I want to look better. And then as I get to 50, I'm like, gosh, I really want to end this journey, the best I can. I don't want to be, type 2 diabetic, or in a, I don't know. You hear all the horror stories of people that have, bad health. And, I don't want that. I want to try to enjoy it.
Exactly. So it's the quality. It's not just the quantity, but it's the quality of your life. I mean, sometimes we start to think things start to creep up on us and we don't quite catch it until then all of a sudden one day we go step on the scale or none of our clothes fit. Yeah. And that's not a good feeling. But the worst part of it is that if it's belly fat, and that's usually where we gain it as we get into our late 40s and 50s, you're usually having more visceral fat. Well, visceral fat's going to be there anyways. We all have some of it around our organs that helps us. But you get too much of it, especially with your belly, that's when we start getting things with the metabolic disorders, such as diabetes type 2, heart disease, blood pressure, cholesterol issues. So it does matter, to a sense, how we carry the weight and also our overall health and our numbers with our lipids and our cholesterol and stuff. So there's everything that you want to look at. It's not just about how do I feel and look. It's about what's really happening with our body.
I'm in the hair business, obviously. And one of the cool things about being in the hair business is that when people come to get their hair done, it's not like they have five other things that they're doing to their hair. And I've got to incorporate those five things into what I would do as far as coloring or cutting or something. Usually they have an area that needs to be colored. I figure out the color and I color it. If it's gotten too long, I cut it. But people now, there's how many different types of diets, different types of exercises, we've got, so when you bring in a new client or a new, someone comes to you and they say, I want you to train me, but I'm doing this and I'm doing this and I'm doing this. Do you incorporate it all, or do you try to say let's try to focus on a few things, or what your plan is, or how do you handle that? Because that's got to be a challenge.
It is a challenge. Well, let's just back up a second, because what I think is mostly happening right now is we have fad diets that are, just like always. There's 2 million zillion diet programs out there, and every year you think it's going to stop.
Yeah.
As a health professional, and every year there's something new that's coming out.
Right.
So for me to tell my clients is that basically fad diets are just mostly bad diets. So the most important thing is to find out, one, what works for you personally, two, to make sure you're the healthiest you can possibly be, and three, that you feel good in your skin again. I want my clients to feel amazing because I want them to go forward and feel like I can take on this world on my terms and have that confidence to do so. And when we don't feel good about ourselves, we start to live under the radar, so to speak. We're not living as large as, I don't mean large physically, but large mentally, spiritually. So someone comes to me, I start to, the first thing I do is decipher, hey, where are you at? What are you eating? What do you want to achieve? What's your day look like? How can we organize it so that you can get this food in your body that you, your body so deeply needs? So there's a, so many things that we're looking at. If someone just coming to me for training, which I don't do as much anymore, I'm very good at training, but I really want to focus on my nutritional coaching. And I have been doing it for 12 years, but kind of just even more so zeroing in on it. I want to know a lot about what their lifestyle is like so that I can help them in the deepest way possible.
Well, I know as a, and I'm just going to, I'll probably compare our trades a few times, but I know like as a hairdresser, I'll have people that'll bring me a picture and it'll be like this supermodel, you know, beautiful face, you know, great, whatever, great body. And they're like, you know, I like these bangs. I'm like, are you looking at the bangs or are you looking at the body or the face? You know, so I guess my question is, or I know for me, I, at some point I've kind of had to redefine what happiness or what I would like. You know, ideally, you know, Brad Pitt, if I could be like Brad Pitt, you know, I don't know who the woman is that women compare to, but, you know, I think as men we mostly say like a Brad Pitt or, you know, some star or whatever. But I'm not Brad Pitt, you know, so I'm not going to become that great. I had to kind of pick and choose and find a spot that, you know, that I'm pretty happy, you know, and I'm proud of where I'm at. Do you have to kind of pick and through, pick through and try to figure out what is what people want as far as happiness? Is it what's that, what they want to compare themselves to, or do they really even know what feeling good is?
Sometimes they don't, but first of all, you have to have some type of realistic expectations of what your body's going to do at certain types of ages.
Right.
So what happened in your 20s is probably not going to happen in your 50s or 60s, and that's okay, because guess what? Most of us don't really care that we, you know, everybody wants to kind of secretly look good naked, so to speak. But honestly, in reality, most of the people that come to me, they just want to feel better and look a little bit better, maybe wear some of the clothes they love and not be so limited. Overall, it's more about health than how they look.
Right. Well, and that's, you know, if I was to say where my mind would want me to be, I'm not quite there. But how I feel when I get up, my energy level throughout the day, how I'm sleeping, how I'm eating, I'm pretty much, I feel like I'm around a 9 out of 10.
And you that's, know, isn't that amazing?
It is amazing. And I, but I don't give it enough credit. I don't pay attention to it enough because I just, I always say, you know, you got the top of the mountain, you know, you work all your life working up the mountain, working on problems. You finally get to the top and then we just run around the top making problems to like keep working on, like, we're just never happy, right? We're just never good.
It absolutely can be that way. And so one of the things that I really work with my clients on is the mindset shift. And through the whole journey that they're working on themselves, it's not, it's really important for them to understand it's not about the destination. That destination, you can arrive there and it could be flat. What is really important is the mountain you're climbing and how you climb that mountain. I want people to understand that the journey is actually more interesting sometimes than the destination.
Well, it's, and yeah, and yeah. Like with running, I always say right before I stop and start walking is when the miracle takes place. If I could just go a little farther, you know, it's that, you know, those small goals that we work through, whether it's running, going to the gym, just showing up. Making the phone call, sometimes just picking up the phone and making that phone call with a trainer or, you know, a wellness coach, is that, you know, that phone can weigh 1,000,000 pounds. You know, it's just sometimes just that step through that fear, that fear, and you get through there and then you're like, whew, you know, it can be that big of a deal. Just those small steps just to try to make the changes.
Yeah, it could be as simple as sometimes just starting to read it, my newsletter, and then maybe getting... asking a question. It sometimes it's not just, okay, I'm going to make up my mind and do this. It's a series of things that take place.
What do you think if, I always say, if you can lose a pound a week, in 52 weeks, 1 year, you've lost 52 pounds. Do you think that's fair?
I think it's fair, but it's not necessarily realistic for some people. I think some people can lose 2 pounds a week and then no pounds at all for 3 weeks.
Your Wait body, a minute. What happened in those 3 weeks?
Because your body is shifting.
Right.
Your body's shifting. Women especially. We have we have less estrogen. Men are losing some of their testosterone, progesterone, and things are shifting. And your body, even if you're doing something amazing for it, does not always respond in the way that we want it to. That's why I say let go of that push and allow the body to do what it's going to do. Focus more on what you're doing, your behaviors, and let go of the outcome. The outcome will be what it may. There's no way we can absolutely determine our outcome when it comes to a body.
Right. Well, and I think that, and this is one of the things, and I shared with you, I think, a little bit when I saw you last, but I tend to hold a lot of weight in my intestines. If I eat badly, my intestines get backed up. And I don't get backed up, but it's a lot of stuff getting worked on in there. And it tends to make me feel fat. Like, oh my God, I need to go on a diet. When I've really just eaten poorly, and then it's struggling to digest, it's not moving fast enough, you know, till it comes out, wherever it comes out there. But like, I'll be like, oh my God, I need to go on a diet. And then all of a sudden, you know, nature takes place, things leave, and all of a sudden you're like, wow, God, I feel a lot better. So one of the things I had to do is I had to start trying to figure out what was creating this discomfort. If I'm eating badly, I can't eat those certain things. If I start carrying a lot of weight in my intestines, you know, I need to address that, not all of a sudden go on some crazy diet just to make my intestines feel better.
Right. Well, so what you're experiencing is your body is going, okay, you've been eating really healthy, and now you put this crap in the body, and I really don't know what to do with it anymore. So when we get our body used to eating junk food, our body is extremely adaptable. It doesn't mean it's happy.
Right.
But when you start to put really good foods in your body consistently, now your body's starting to lose the internal inflammation. You go back to eating junk, one day is probably not going to do it, but a couple of days, 3 days, 4 days, it starts to accumulate, and that inflammation starts to kick up again. You get the bloating, the under eye
circles. Is that what it is? I'm inflamed? Yeah. Mm-hmm. My tissue is inflamed?
That's what I'm pretty much guessing. I call it fluff, but honestly, if my clients, when they start to eat the way that I teach them, they go off, they're going to go on vacation, they're going to live life, and things happen. They're going to get what I call fluff. Basically, it's just some inflammation. So we got to get right back on track, get those anti-inflammatory foods in the body, make sure that they're moving their body, and things start to go right back to homeostasis, is what we want our body to be in.
Can you pull this down just a little bit? I don't want you to sound too any thinner than you are.
Okay, sorry.
There's some richness now.
There we go.
Well, the body is a crazy thing. This vehicle is a crazy thing. And just when I think I have it figured out, it throws me for a loop. You know, one day I can eat really terrible and just feel amazing. One day I can eat really healthy and just feel really bloated. So, and then one of the other things is I don't necessarily know that, like if I eat a big dinner, when do I start using that?
Well, that's just it. I mean, our bodies can only tolerate so many calories at one time, and then we're going to end up storing them.
Right.
It's best probably for most people to eat more than one meal a day, because it's hard to get all the minerals, nutrients, enzymes, and, you know, macronutrients in that diet, in that meal, for the body to absorb everything and to use it.
Do we store that stuff?
We can. We can store it. There's one macronutrient that we won't store. It's only very rarely will we store it, is protein.
Okay.
So the protein should be throughout the day in certain amounts so that your body can really upload it and use it to its best ability, building some lean muscle, helping us with cognitive skills, and everything else, and with our metabolism.
Well, I told you before that I started only eating supper. And I still kind of do that. I like today I had some rotisserie chicken and some avocado because I was hungry. But, you know, I didn't think that was that bad. It's not bad at all. In fact, it was delicious. But I had to do that because I was really lost. I was in the woods, and I didn't know where I was at. I didn't know why I was eating. Clearly, you know, we eat because we eat, you know. I mean, that's kind of how I felt. I don't know why I'm eating. I'm just doing it because the sun went down. It must be dinner. Sun came up. Must be breakfast. It's middle of the day. I guess it's time for lunch. So I was eating all this food, but I really wasn't paying attention or giving the food that I was eating or just the gift of eating enough credit. I wasn't giving it enough attention. So I was eating a lot of junk, just, you know, processed food, really. Taco Bell, Arby's, you know, anything. Oh, what do you want for dinner? I don't know. How about a quesadilla? It's just nothing, all processed. And I felt terrible. My foot was bothering me. I couldn't run. I'd really been doing a lot of running just to maintain the ability to eat like crap. because that's kind of what it had turned into. And my foot was hurting, so I couldn't run. And I was like, you know, I don't know what I'm doing. I just shut it down. I said, no more. I'm not eating any breakfast. I'm not going to eat any lunch. And I just started eating dinner. And the first week was a breakup with breakfast and lunch. It was emotional. And then it really exposed how much junk I eat.
Yeah.
Out of boredom, out of relationships, out of transition, you know, from one thing to the next, from one client to the next. And then, you know, corporations or, you know, the food companies, they like to label things as healthy, but they're still coming in a package. So there's still process. There's still something to it. Yeah. So just in all of my confusion, I just said, that's it.
Yeah.
And then I started just eating supper. I suffered throughout the day. But when it was time to eat, I made sure all of a sudden what I was eating became very important. Broccoli, you know, or all of a sudden I could afford organic. You know, now I start buying organic vegetables. Good pieces of meat, you know, butter. I mean, if I'm going to eat once a meal, once a day, I might as well have the good stuff on it, right? And it just made me, it was like a life-changing event.
Yeah. Well, so it wasn't just the one meal a day that, as far as I can tell, that made the biggest change for you. It was the elimination of the processed foods and also starting to get in touch with your body.
Right.
So we don't have to go to one meal a day to do that. And I would highly not recommend not doing that to my clients because, again, it's going to be extremely hard to get everything we need into our bodies in one meal.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a great way for you to start to connect with yourself, to try to find out what was working. You had filled your body with processed foods like I did for years and years, mm-hmm. and you had inflammation. It was coming out in your foot. It comes out in our knees, comes out in our just feeling achy. Then we start to have problems with our gut, which affects our mind. So there's so many things you want to look at, and you started to look at that. So you backed up to move forward. Now, you know, what I would do with a client that came to me that had done that, it was like, now let's build on that. Let's start adding in another meal so you get more nutrients in that body. Let's make sure your body knows when it's hungry. If it's not hungry, there's a reason for it. We got to figure all this out. I help my clients to decipher that.
Well, that's helpful because I actually felt really good. I didn't feel deficient in anything. And quite honestly, I felt it was very I don't know what it was. Very enlightening for me.
Right.
And like you said. You know, like today, I had some chicken and I had some avocado. Now when I eat, I really pay attention to it. You know?
Well, you started to listen to your body, and today was your body was saying, I'm hungry, feed me, and you did. And see, this is what we want. We want more of that because your body should get hungry. Higher metabolism will kick in hunger, because if you're a lean, mean eating machine, you are going to get hungry on a schedule. Like, there's no way I can go longer than 4 hours. I have to eat.
But you're a trainer.
I am a trainer, but I don't exercise like crazy. I started similarly to you years ago. I was eating junk. I didn't know when I was hungry, when I was full. I was trying to outrun my fork, eating junk and then binging and then trying to exercise for 2 hours. And, you know, I hit the wall. I had to learn the hard way as well. And then I ended up getting my education. It was so enlightening to me. I thought, this is life-changing, and I want other people to feel this, to know what it feels like, to go from being sick, basically, or just feeling like crap, out of control with my eating, to feeling like, okay, I got this, and I'm going to, you know, I can do this, and I can go forward and not have to grow old with the typical aging things, because I know what to do, and I want to teach other people those same skills.
One of the things I've noticed about my parents, and they're both in their 80s now, they just don't eat very well. They just don't really. Like, my mom will have cake for breakfast. I mean, it's like.
Maybe when you're 80 or 90, you don't give a crap. But
yeah,
honestly, a lot of people that come to me have a ton of information in their head, and they still don't really eat that well. So it's, even with all the education books and stuff, and your mom and dad are probably hearing it, they're still just caught up in a pattern of what they've been doing and don't really, they haven't hit the wall. Some people never hit the wall.
Right.
But they have a lower quality of life that they might not even know about until they get to that higher quality, and then they can see the disparity between the two.
Well, the question leading up to that is that how do you take, especially people that are older, you know, that are really set in their ways, you know, to try to incorporate a better way of living, a better way of eating, I mean, is that a challenge or?
Of course it is. It's a challenge for anyone. Changing behaviors is a challenge, period.
Well, it is. But I will say that in my 20s, I didn't care as much.
No.
In my 50s, all of a sudden, I became concerned.
Bingo.
You know, as I get older, you know, I guess at some point you just surrender and say, look, this is what I'm at and this is what I'm going to do and I'm not going to worry about it. I don't know. Whatever the motivating factor is in our lives, like at 20s, we're just young and can do whatever we want and we're not as affected. And we get in our 50s, you know, you listed some of the problems, our metabolism changes, you know, our testosterone drops, all these different things. And then all of a sudden you're like, well, geez, I want to try to, you know, round this out pretty well. So there's motivation for that. But when you start getting in your 60s and your 70s or whatever, you know, people are working out, how do you get how do you get the folks motivated?
Well,
I guess if they come to you, that's the first step, right?
It is the first step. And motivation, it comes and goes like the wind. I mean, same with willpower. You can't just say, well, I'm not motivated enough to do anything. Well, most people aren't. You have to learn, you'd have to have steps in place, little steps, literally little steps, that will give you some good return pretty quickly. And that leads you to going, okay, well, I feel better already. Maybe I can take another step. And that's how I cement behaviors with my clients. It's like it's never diving right in and, oh, we got to lose this 10 pounds in this first month. No. So let's get you feeling just a little bit better. And that builds, and we build on that. So motivation comes and goes. You got to expect that. Willpower comes and goes. You have to expect that.
Yeah.
And you have to be ready for some tough times. And then you also have to be ready for some amazing times.
Yeah.
It's all there. And when you get older, you can go, well, what the heck? I'm older. My mom got fat. My dad got fat. Whatever excuse you use. But the problem is that you really don't need to be like your mom and dad. Mm-mm. You can be the person you want to be. As you might be a little stockier, though. Somebody might be a little bit more ectomorphic, which is like a thin runner, or a little stockier, like a mesomorphic. You can't change those things.
Right.
But you can change a lot of other things. And those are the people that I'm looking for. Those are the people I want to help because they're ready to take it to a different level. They're not ready to settle.
What do you think the biggest sabotage to your work is?
From somebody, a client?
Yeah.
I think people sabotage themselves all the time with things like, well, why do I even care? I'm 60. Why do I even care? My friends are doing this. I think they start to talk themselves out of what they really care about. But you can't hide from what you really want.
Right.
You can cover it up with all kinds of junk food, alcohol. You can cover it up with excess exercise, but you can't really cover up what's really going on the inside.
Right.
Your inner spirit. So if that's speaking to you and you're ignoring it, it's going to come out.
What's a day like for you?
For me, I'm busy. I start off my morning. I've had coaching myself, lots of coaching. And I was taught from the very beginning to have a morning ritual.
Mm-hmm.
So I do mindfulness. I do grateful journal. I do some meditation and just some catch-up work. And honestly, I take 20 minutes to do all that. And then my catch-up work can be anything. But my day starts out 90% of the time with meditation and grateful journal. And then I move on to training clients, coaching clients. I write every week for my newsletter blog.
What's your newsletter blog? Does it have a website?
Yeah, my website is Coach Leslie, www.coachleslie.com. And nice. I have a newsletter you can sign up for there. And I write every week about everything. I mean, most of my stuff is not just clinical, you know, don't give up carbs, eat this much protein, all that. Obviously, I have that all under my belt. I've been well educated. But a lot of my writing ability comes from mindset shifting. It's because if we don't have it right up in our mind when we go into this journey, we're never going to make it.
Right. Well, that's my next question. I mean, I've said it before on the podcast, but I don't really feel like you're living unless you're suffering.
Is that true?
I don't know. I'm asking you. I don't mean suffering like getting cut and blah, I'm bleeding. It's like, you know, when you do the work, that's when you find the growth. And usually work isn't comfy.
If you can't, you're right. Okay, if you put it that way, then I can dissect it a little bit more. Because I don't believe we have to suffer. I think it is part of the journey in this life that we are going to suffer.
People don't like that word.
They don't like it.
They do not like that word. When I say that, it gets quiet. I could hear Nelda in the background. I mean, it's like, what does that mean, suffer? But, I mean,
well,
I say anything other than me on the couch under a blanket watching SportsCenter is suffering. You know, that's my go-to comfort spot. So, you know, anything other than that, I prefer not to be doing, you know, for the most part.
Well, you are going to have some uncomfortable times when you make a change. It doesn't matter if you're going back to school or you're trying to lose a little weight or you're opening up your own business. You know, as an entrepreneur, I've suffered.
Right.
Yes, but I've also have amazing rewards.
Thank you.
And the step up was well worth a little bit of the suffering.
Do you think those rewards would have come had you not been put in that place where you had to really... feel uncomfortable, do the work, and then all of a sudden that's like the miracle thing. Wow, look at this.
No, I don't think I would ever. No, absolutely. Everything that I've gone through, I've come out on the other side as a better person.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And that's part of this journey as well. When clients are working with me, they are discovering parts of themselves that they didn't even know they had, the strengths, the gifts. And yes, there is some work to be done. You better believe it. But the gratitude and that you could show yourself and also just the miracle of achieving things with your body that you didn't think you could do is magical.
How do you take, and this I think is happens a lot. We've got a lot of victims. You know, oh, if I had this or someone hadn't done that or if this hadn't been put in my life, maybe my life would have been different. How do you create or teach or help people to become accountable for where they are?
I think most people that I work with are actually ready to become accountable.
Okay.
And I also help them with that, stay accountable through the support that I give. But people can blame things on their genes, so to speak.
Yep.
Is that something
Absolutely.
That, yeah.
Yeah, like if, you know, I grew up in a bakery. If it wasn't for the bakery, I wouldn't have eaten all this stuff. You know, at some point, you know, my buddy Matt used to say, you know, you're never going to get better if you're going to be a victim. You know, I could, you know, back in the day when I was out, you know, running the streets and, you know, whatever would happen, I can remember, you know, putting my face in my hands and saying, you know, why me, God? like God made me drive my car into the ditch. You know, God made me do all this. I had to say, well, Tom, if you hadn't done what you did and then got behind the wheel and went where you went and you wouldn't have ended up in the ditch, until I could say that, it was just blaming everybody and I could never really move forward. And I feel like a lot of people, and I shouldn't say a lot, I talked to quite a few people, and that seems to be, they want to blame something else for their problems.
Yeah. Yeah, I think they can. We all can be like that as human beings. We can tend to want to blame something else or someone else or whatever. But in my work, I don't really get a lot of that. I get more people that are just ready. When they hire me or come to me, they're ready to make changes. And they might want to blame something else.
Excuse me.
Yeah, fine. They might want to blame something else, but they usually work through it pretty quickly.
Right. That's cool. I mean, I see that a lot with hair. People come in with these beautiful hairstyles. I want this. I go, well, are you willing to do any work? No.
Yeah.
I said, well, let's find a different style.
I get the same thing. People want to have a beautiful body, so to speak, or they want to feel better in their body. They want to wear those clothes, but they're not willing to do the work or to spend the money or to get to the gym or whatever it is that it takes. There's a lot of people that just want something and they want it without any effort.
Without any suffering.
Without any suffering. There you go. And there is a little bit of suffering because you're making some changes. I try to make it as painless as possible.
Yeah.
And it pretty much isn't as hard as people think if they have someone that can help guide them.
Well, it's funny. You know, I have trouble dealing with victims, you know, and I don't mean like victims of like something that's bad that's really happened to them, but just people that have 100 reasons why they can't get what they want. And it's hard to tolerate them because you can't explain it to them. You know, I didn't stop I didn't make the changes in my life until I hit bottom. You know, I really had, you know, I remember when I started, you know, when I started wanting to run, I was smoking cigarettes. It was 1997. I was drinking, carrying on like a maniac, finally made some choices, hit bottom. And I remember first giving up the alcohol was the first one. But in 1999, I said, I want to run. I see these people running. I want to run. not somebody going, you should be a runner, or, you know, you should run and maybe quit cigarettes. It had to be something that I wanted to do. I ran to the corner and then walked and then had a cigarette. And then the next day I ran to the corner, walked, had a cigarette. And then the next time I ran to the one corner to the next corner, walked a little, had a half a cigarette. I had to start working my way through there, and I wanted to quit smoking. And I started running, and I quit the smoking. It was just something that I had to do. Do you ever see that people? And you know, it's a business. You know, you're in business. You gotta, you know, you do what you do. But you see people that come in. You know, you put the weights on for them. You do everything for them. They go through the motions. You know, they're maybe not serious, but you're still. You never know when the miracle may take place. So you have to hang in there with them. But
I absolutely do.
It's tough.
It's tough, and I'm there for them, and I understand that it's a process. Not everybody comes in going, okay, I'm ready, I'm motivated.
Right.
That, like I said earlier, half the time people really aren't that motivated. They just want something, and they don't know where to start.
Right.
So if I point them in the right direction and we start to work together, things start to happen. But honestly, you know, I had to hit the wall too. I mean, I was smoking years ago like crazy and drinking and doing all kinds of stuff, eating a ton of sugar, processed foods, and I had to hit the wall before I changed. But some people hit the wall and they never change. They stay in that position, and that's the saddest thing ever. So you can be diagnosed with things or have things happen to you, but you don't have to let that define who you are.
Right.
And that's what I'm hoping I'm getting from what you just said, is that the victimhood, for instance, I was diagnosed when I hit the wall with fibromyalgia and chronic fatigue syndrome. Later, I got cancer. Mm. And I could have let that all define me and stay exactly where I was. Oh, you know, having people take care of me with all the medications and all that, and then end up being in a wheelchair like they had, you know, said that's probably what's going to happen to me. And I said, there is no way in hell this is going to be my life. But to this day, I hear people talk about fibromyalgia or something like that, and they don't want any help. They want to stay right where they're at.
Mm-hmm.
And it just blows my mind.
It's frustrating.
It's frustrating. It blows my mind because not that you can cure an autoimmune disease, but you sure can make your life a whole lot better. And I'm not saying I still don't have symptoms or things of that nature. But what I do know is that I feel human again. I feel better than human. I feel great most days. And it's because of the way I treat my body and my mindset. And I had to do that from the bottom up. It wasn't given to me.
If I get up in the morning and I don't like, I like to try to do something in the morning. If I don't do anything, I'm all of a sudden, I'm inconvenienced. You know, I'm bothered. You know, I'm like, you know, let me in. You know, I can't get into traffic fast enough. There's too much traffic. Everyone's too slow. I'm cutting in and out. I'm really out of my mind. But if I go out for like a bike ride or a run, or I get to go to the gym, all of a sudden I have a little humility. You know, I'm waving people. Come on, you guys, come in. You know. I'll buy his coffee. You know, all of a sudden, I'm just a super nice guy. It's weird how that changes our attitude, right? And I think one of the first things that I noticed when I started exercising was that my change in my spirit.
It does affect it's affecting your brain, the brain chemicals. You're getting more dopamine and serotonin, and you're feeling better. And you're also doing something for yourself, which makes you feel empowered. Every time we do something good for ourselves, we feel empowered.
Well,
and that is, you're now pushing that beautiful energy out into the world.
Right. Well, and you know, we hear it all the time, the term spiritual awakening. You know, I think as soon as I hear the word spiritual, I think religion, and I'm like, ugh, I'm fading off. But when you have, and I've used this comparison before, if you have a garage, and you have a Ferrari, you take the keys and you throw it in the middle of the garage and you fill the garage up with boxes, shut the door. You have a Ferrari, but you can't drive it. You have a spirit, but you can't drive it because the boxes are full of, like, I eat too much, I drink too much, I'm not exercising, I'm, you know, I'm inconvenienced, I'm not helping others, I'm just living a life of self. And then when you start, like, whether it's an exercise, you start, you know, meet up with someone like you and start on a one day a week, you take that one box out of the garage, and all of a sudden, the boxes start coming out quicker. And that's how my life was when I started running and gave up the cigarettes. The cigarettes were a big weight on me, a guilty, like, cape I would carry around, this shame. Oh. And I finally, when I let go of that cape, I took that box out of the garage, I could start to get, you know, more boxes start coming out. Oh, well, right. Let's start working on
That's
this.
Right.
Maybe I want to start dressing a little better. Oh, my clothes don't stink. Maybe I can put on a different shirt. I can maybe get my teeth clean. Maybe I felt like my teeth were dirty. All of a sudden, these more boxes start coming out of the garage. And then all of a sudden, you start to have, like, a spirit, which you've always had. But we cover it with so many self-centered boxes, you know?
Well, that's the same. That's a great analogy for anything, that when you start to make changes with your life, with your weight, your fitness, your health. It's the same thing. It's like every time you move that box and you make more space for yourself, you allow yourself to grow.
Right.
You allow yourself to, you know, get out from under the radar, so to speak, and get into the radar, making sure that you're doing more things for yourself makes you feel better about your life.
Well,
it bleeds into everything.
And we live in this cocoon, this wall of self-centered fear. You know, it's always about, you know, am I good enough, or how do I look to others? And then when you start like an exercise, that suffering, that creating some of that humility, that wall comes down. I always say, you know, there's a bridge at the Junction Breakwater Trail that I love to run to. It's beautiful. If I woke up on the bridge and just looked over the rail, I'd say, well, that's great.
Yeah.
But when I run to that bridge, when I ride, when I suffer, when I, you know, grind it out, get to the bridge, and I look over the rail, and it's usually I'm racing the sunrise. You know, it's always something. And then I look over, and I go, whew, that is beautiful. But I'm like, at the same time, I'm like figuring out lyrics for a song. I'm maybe becoming like a poet. I'm writing poetry in my head. You know, all of a sudden, I'm capable of doing so much more than when I just woke up and looked over the rail.
Oh, and we get into such talking to, when you would ask me what I do each day, my days get so busy that sometimes I don't get a chance to get into nature like that.
Yeah.
And that nature piece is huge for our spirits, for our minds. If you don't want to talk about spirit, fine. But you get out in nature, you tell me that you aren't changed.
Right.
Put your phone away. You just get out there and just be with yourself. I mean, like I kayaked the other day in Dewey by myself, and it was just like, oh my gosh, I loved the feeling.
Yeah.
And if you could do more things like that, it wasn't that it was so challenging. It was just that I was out with nature and able to think and clear my head. We just get so busy. We're just in front of the TV, our screens with people. We just need to be out in nature doing more things like what you just talked about, what I just talked about, and just being with ourselves more outside with the trees.
Yeah, well, one of the funny things that I find because I spend a lot of time, we live in such a great area, right?
Yeah.
I mean, we were riding the boardwalk this morning, and every time I ride the boardwalk with my buddy, I go, oh, how lucky are we, you know, just riding along by the ocean. But, you know, when you get out, like if you're out for a run or you're out riding the kayak or paddling the kayak or riding a bike, it's amazing how our senses, like the sense of smell, like I can be riding, and then all of a sudden, like I can smell a change in the air, like there's a fox nearby or deer bedded down. Like I can smell them, you know, where in the, you know, just a regular day at work, I'm not paying attention to smell. I'm not paying attention to those senses that over time through evolution as humans, we don't really, you know, we smell food and stuff, but it's not like we create, you know, fear or alarm with the smell. But like if I'm riding and I'm out there in nature and I'm really breathing and really, you know, moving a lot of air through my body, I can sense like a deer bedded down. Sometimes I'll run up on deer and I can smell them. They kind of smell like cows. Or I can smell, like this morning, but there was like we went through this little mini cold front in the foggy morning. It was really warm. And then just this cold air, you just get all this, you know, my senses are like, wow, all this great stuff is going on that I never even pay attention to because I'm so busy, like in my car or at work. Or it's just, and then my mind's like, yeah, love life.
It is. It just makes all the difference in your world. And most people, my clients, a lot of them are busy like you and I, and they have not built any of those joys into their day.
Right.
So it's a lesson learned by me as well, that these actually need to be built in. Sometimes they're not going to just happen spontaneously. We have to make them happen by starting off like you did, running to the corner or getting on your bike, or me driving into Dewey, which I could have done at the Broadkill, but I wanted to go to Dewey, getting on a kayak. And now my next thing is paddle boarding. So one thing just opens a door. It's like a window in the brain. Another window opens up. Next thing you know, you got a couple doors, and your brain has changed because you've done some different things to enlighten your life.
That's got to be one of the best parts of your job, is just watching those people that have been kind of locked into this misery.
Yeah.
And then they, whatever, for whatever reason, health, relationship, you know, whatever it is, they decide, you know, I want to make a change. They pick up the phone or they give you a call or they just show up and then they do, you know, a step or a lift a weight. And then that, they're like, and that I've seen it before. Their eyes get wide. You can just tell the wheels are turning. The wheels that maybe haven't turned in a while start cranking up. And it's just, it's got to be beautiful. I mean, what an amazing ability to help people, to be involved with people, taking care of yourself at the same time. I mean, your day's just got to be full of just awesomeness, right?
It can be. It can be filled with a lot of things, but I can't say it's all awesomeness, but it's, I tell you what, it's pretty cool to see people expand their lives and have a better life. I mean, there's nothing more joyful to me than to have someone just start to be excited and have hope.
Right.
Hope again.
I guess that's what I meant. Is when you see that light of hope start to fire back up.
And that's a gift to me. It's just as much of a gift to me as it ever could be to them because I get to be part of that and see. It's very important work for me.
So if someone wants to, someone's like, oh my God, that lady is pretty cool. I want to talk to her. How would we get a hold of you? Besides, you have your website. Is that the best way?
No, not necessarily. They can always, I'm on Facebook and I'm on Instagram, Coach Leslie. My name is spelled different though. It's L-E-S-S-L-E-E. And the website's always a great way to get a hold of me. I mean, people text me, people call me. It's just whatever works for that client, how they feel comfortable getting a hold of me.
Well, I think you're awesome. I've talked to you. I'm like, please do a podcast. I think you would have, if you're doing a vlog every week, you'd be a good podcaster.
Yeah, I enjoy the time
I'm
here.
I'm not
that
sure if you have enough time in your day to do a podcast, but or in your week, but
not right now. But I'm starting to. What I want to do, Tom, is I want to start doing more of things that embellish my soul.
Right.
And so private coaching and is my call to. Training is good, but it's not my...
Private coaching, like private life coaching?
Well, nutrition coaching. Yeah, okay. Nutrition. And then that would encompass exercise as well as mindset, food, everything. And I love to train too, but there's just only so many hours in a day. So I'm trying to clear a little bit of that out so that
there's a difference between training and like
huge.
A wellness coach.
Yeah, because when I train, I mean, I just, you don't want to brag on yourself, but I'm a really good trainer. I've been very well educated in training and I love it. But it takes up a lot of time. I'm driving there, I'm a private coach, you know, I'm training. You can see how that can eat up your day.
Yeah.
The other coaching is quite a bit more fulfilling for me because it's all encompassing. I'm doing everything with that client and I'm helping them change their lives in all the ways that I can do through fitness, through health, and through mindset. So all that is what I do with my coaching business.
Nice.
Training, I do train as well, but just not as much. And then I'm hoping to have more time to do maybe something like this during the week and do more fun things as well for myself.
Well, when you find the time and when you get to a place, you know, let's have the conversation but when you're ready, because if you were to ever choose to do a podcast, you would, you know, I think you would have a big following, honestly. And I think I think one of the things that, you know, we would want to make sure is if you even wanted to do it is that we could do it consistently. You know, I wouldn't want to do a couple and then you get too busy and then you're like gone for a month and then back. Yeah. People be like, So if it's ever something you want to do, you know, you always have a microphone here at the old Rehoboth Social Podcast.
Yeah, it's a great little studio.
Thank you. Well, listen, I appreciate you coming out. I know you're busy. I appreciate you spending time with me. I adore you. I think you're great. You look beautiful.
Thank you.
A real inspiration. I mean, I'm not going to ask your age, but if I can be somewhat looking great at your age, when I reach that age, half as good, I'll be happy.
Thank you so much. And you look great, and I feel great, and I'm hoping to show people that as they head into their 60s and 70s that, you know, hey, the old stereotype is just BS.
Well, I think you're a terrific example of that because you look awesome.
Thank you.
And I can tell you do a lot of work at it, so.
Ooh. Well, I do. I do put some effort into it.
And your hair looks good, too.
Yeah, well, somebody I know does my hair, so.
That's a bad thing if I do your hair. Hey, I'll do your hair, but can you do a podcast? You're like, oh, God.
It all worked out.
Well, listen, hey. I appreciate it. I'll put all like pertinent information into the description, your website, how to get on your blog, your Facebook and your Instagram, Coach Leslie, and we'll put it all in there so that I don't know if you're trying to build business, but I definitely think
I am.
People are if you're building business is great, but it's educating too. And I think it seems like nutrition is always changing. It's like one minute you can do this and the next minute you can't. And it's just nice to have someone that's kind of keeping their finger on the pulse of what's going on.
You got to know the science. You got to figure. You can't just read something on Facebook and follow Susie Q down the block. So
don't listen
you're right.
to me. I'll only have eaten one meal a day.
Yeah, and you would be very hungry.
All right.
Depending.
All right. Thank you, dear. I'll talk. We'll talk to you later. Bye.
10-4.